Praise the Lord. Amen. We are so grateful to God, and I'm thankful to God for the opportunity to bring God's word to you this morning. And I'm thankful to you, Pastor Berry, and to all of you for having me at Redemption and the privilege that God has given to me to keep learning in this community. It's been wonderful, and I appreciate God for that. It's the first time I'm seeing Tony, so yeah, I'm happy seeing him. I hope Judy is fine. Wonderful. Okay. Yeah, today we are going to listen to God. Amen. We are going to hear God, listen to God. And for some time now, we have been studying about kingdom finances. And I know that so far as this series is concerned, we have been empowered, we have been equipped from scripture and other sources to exercise some kingdom-mindedness around our finances. And I believe that God has blessed us with all these resources to know how to live our lives financially, not only because we are children of the kingdom, but also we understand that everything that we have belongs to Him. Everything that we own now, everything that we will ever possess in our lives as children of God belongs to Him. And God can come to us and make any demands on our finances. How many of you believe that? God can just come and ask us to do anything with His money. We are stewards of that. So He can come to us and He can tell us, use your money for that. Use the money for this. Invest here, invest there. Do this, do that. So my prayer is that when God calls on us to channel our resources anywhere, we will be willing and we will be obedient. Amen. Scripture tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, that we should remember the Lord our God, because it is He who gives us the ability to produce wealth, to make money. God grants us the grace, He grants us the power, He grants us the will, He grants us the health that we need to produce wealth. And I ask this question, that is it always easy for us to obey God when He makes demands on our finances, or He tells us to give? Is it all the time easy? Do we always find pleasure in doing so? Giving to God, whether in the course of mission, whether it is in tithing, or God asking us to invest in a particular business, is that always easy? It doesn't come always easy for us when God step in our way, or sometimes it has happened to me before and I have struggled so much. You know, you want to give a particular amount towards a project that God is asking you to, and then you hear God, instead of, say, giving 2,000, give 10,000. And then you begin to struggle. Am I really hearing well? Is it God telling me to give 10,000 instead of 2,000? I have struggled with that a lot. So sometimes we wrestle with that voice. We wrestle with what God tells us to do. And there are moments that we disobey, or we do that grudgingly. And we kind of ask so many questions regarding our financial status, that how can all these things be possible? Looking at my bank account, How can the rent be paid? My school fees, the car loan, the insurance, the mortgage. I have all these things in place. They are all before me. How can I give towards this cause? How do I invest if I don't have? Probably all that you have, the little you have, God is asking you to channel it in investment. But you begin to ask so many questions around that. Most of the time we worry and we are distracted by the issues of life. And those things cause us to be anxious and then we fear. I am talking to you this morning. I believe God wants to tell all of us not to fear. So talking to you about the fear of spending and being spent. Maybe it's your time. God wants you to invest your time in building godly relationships, your money in nurturing relationships that will advance the kingdom of God, giving your money towards God's projects, being it offering, being it missionary work. Yeah, but sometimes it becomes so hard because of all these things. So how do we overcome these fears? How do we willingly obey God? Jesus teaches us to live our lives every day as children of the kingdom, especially in uncertain financial times, without stress and without fear. I want us to turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 12. I read from 22 to 32. Luke 12, 22 to 32. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet, I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink, or worry about it. For the pagan's world runs after all these things, and your Father in heaven knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you his kingdom." Amen. Jesus calls us to two things this morning. He calls us to avoid fear and worry. He calls us to avoid fear. He reminds his disciples that anxiety, worrying, fear, they are not characteristics of the children of the kingdom. They are unnecessary, simply because they would not give you what you want. It is unhelpful. It will not produce anything good in your life. And the more we worry, the more we think about issues, the more we try to just brood over issues. How is this going to be? Think about it. in a worrying manner, it limits what God can do in our lives. It limits God's ability, because God is the God of all things, and He is our God, and He is our Father. So it reflects lack of trust and lack of faith in God. God wants us to come to that place where we can live our lives freely, where we can live our lives without fear, without anxiety, without any worrying. It is true, the economy may be very hard. Inflation may be going up. You wake up and you don't know what to eat. Very true. But the good news is that we have a Father who cares so much for us. And our Father knows what we need. And which one of us, being a parent, will not give your children the bread, the food that they need to survive? If they ever need clothes and they come to you, will you turn them away? If we, being evil, scripture says, we know what is good to give to our children, how much more our Heavenly Father? Jesus calls us out of that life, because that is not the lifestyle of the kingdom. And He calls us to trust God and to have faith in God. So the absence of anxiety and fear involves trusting in God, in what God can do, in the God who loves you so much and has called you into His eternal kingdom. Philippians 4:6 says that, "Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, with prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will rule over your heart," will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. That is the place God is calling you to. Don't be anxious, child of God. Don't fear what is happening. Don't be afraid what is going on all around you. Because your God is mighty. Because your God is able. Because your God is greater. Because the riches in glory which is in Christ Jesus, that belongs to God, we have no idea of what that can produce in our lives. So, child of God, don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't let anxiety and depression cripple you, because you don't know what to eat, because you don't know how to live this life. Turn to God. This morning, God is calling us out of fear, out of worry, out of anxiety, to the place where we can trust Him. Jesus in His life demonstrated this when He sent the 12 that go. I want us to read that quickly from Matthew chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. Jesus said that, "Provide neither gold or silver nor copper in your belt, nor bag for your journey, nor of two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff, for a worker is worthy of his food." He sent them, He demonstrated to us what it means to be a kingdom person, what it means to live out of the abundance of the kingdom of God. He sent them, and He sent them, and He said, "Take nothing with you on your journey." And He did that to demonstrate this to them, that God is able to take care of them. God is able to watch over them. God is able to make all grace abound towards them. And that is what God is asking me to tell you this morning, that that grace of God is able to make everything abound to you, that you will have sufficiency at all time and abound in every good work. So there is no need, child of God, for you to worry. There is no need for you to fear. And Jesus said to them in verse 32 that, "Do not fear, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God enjoys giving good gifts to his children. That is our God. He enjoys, spoiling us, giving us all that we need, giving us all of life. He enjoys giving good gifts to his children. Not because you have done anything or we have done anything or we are worthy, no. But because of who he is as God, because of his faithfulness, because of his integrity, because of who he is as Almighty God. He is our Father. And he knows what we need. So in our pursuit of kingdom finances, in our pursuit of this, we don't have to worry, children of God. We don't have to fear, for God is with us. Amen. Two things I have seen in scripture have characterized the faithfulness of God in providing for his people in redemptive history: the presence of God and the blessing of God, the promise, which, all together is the blessing of God. And we look at the life of Abraham when God called him. He called him from his house. He didn't know where he was going. He only trusted. He obeyed. And he left. He didn't know what the journey was going to look like. He didn't know what was ahead of him. In faith, he obeyed. He went. And these things followed him. The promise that God made to him, God was faithful to the end. And Abraham had the blessings of God. The presence of God was also with him. So in Genesis chapter 14, verse 22 to 23, when Abraham told the king of Sodom, when he had wanted to give him so many gifts, he told him that, "I don't need these things. At least you will say that you have made Abraham rich by giving me this or that. But the God that I serve is the possessor of heaven and earth." And we looked at Abraham's life, and indeed he was a blessed man. We turn to Isaac in Genesis chapter 26, verse 1 to 3. He was a blessed man. God was with him. In the midst of famine, he had wanted to leave, but God told him that, "Do not leave. Stay in this place and I will bless you. I will be with you and I will bless you." And scripture says that in the same year of famine, droughts, in the same year of famine, he sowed and he reaped abundantly. And scripture says that he began to prosper. He continued prospering until he became very prosperous. In the midst of famine. And we tend to look at Jacob's life. And it is a wonderful story here too. The Lord told Jacob, he ran away from his brother. We know the story. He ran away with nothing. 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 He carried the blessing and the presence of God. The Lord told him that, behold, I will be with you and keep you wherever you go. I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. And in Laban's house, it was evident. He said that, for the Lord has blessed me because of you. I have learned by experience, Jacob, that I have been blessed. I am a blessed man because of you. The presence of God and the blessings of God upon our lives will be a blessing to other people as well. Amen. Physically, he did not carry anything. But by the time he was returning to his father's house, he had so many things. And he built an altar saying that, to the Lord who answered me in distress and had been with me all the way in the journey that I had gone. The Lord will make that our story. The Lord is with us, and he will continue to be with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We turn to Joseph in Genesis chapter 29, verse 2 and 3. Scripture says that the Lord was with Joseph, and he was successful. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. And all that his master had, he committed to him. I think his master was so wise that if God is with him and everything is going well, I better hand everything to him to do, to handle. God was with him. And God prospered everything that Joseph did. And even in prison, it was evident. He had favor before the prison guards. They saw that God was with him. We turn to the children of Israel, like Israel as a nation. The Lord was with them, and he provided for them. Scripture says that in the day the Lord led them by the pillar of cloud. He went before them by day in a pillar of cloud, and by night in a pillar of fire. In the wilderness, God provided for them. He provided meat. He provided fish. He provided all that they needed. Their sandals, their clothes. He provided everything that they needed. Sandals, clothes never worn out because they were with God. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, Moses said this, and this is a scripture that is so profound for me, that for what great nation is there that has God so close to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason that we call on him. For whatever reason we call on God, God turns to us and he hears us and he listens to us and he is there for us. He has blessed us with every blessing possible. Bible says that God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. All things, everything that we need in this life to follow God, God has given us. We don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. God is telling us he is your father. When you start seeing God as your heavenly father, that is when your faith and trust will arise, will abound. trust in God. He is your father. He is pleased to give you everything. As much as the kingdom of God. Can you imagine? That is God. And Bible says that if God did not withhold Christ and gave him to us, if God did not withhold Jesus and gave Jesus to us, how much more will he not with Christ also give you all things? The greatest gift that God could ever give man was Christ Jesus. So if he did not withhold him and gave him to you, oh, how much more? What is it that you are looking for in life? What is it that is calling your attention? What is it that is distracting you? Remember that God gave Christ his ultimate to you, and he is far more than willing to give you any other thing. See God as your father. The father-son relationship is key. Once you start seeing God as your father, worry will not have a place in your life. Fear will not have a place in your life. Anxiety will not have a place in your life. Because it is your father's will, it is his desire to give you all things. Have the acts of God in review to build faith and trust. God cannot lie. The people that walked with God in scripture, God proved himself faithful. And God will be faithful to you. We need to learn to give thanks no matter what, knowing that our Heavenly Father has us. We need to learn to give thanks to God, knowing that no matter what happens, he is in control. A friend of mine will say that God is in town and nothing can go wrong. God is in town, nothing can go wrong. He is in control. And that is the God we serve. That is the God who has called us. That is the God we are following. So faith, having faith in God is key. And trust. Christ is calling us to this. The integrity of God, having the conviction in God, in what God can do, who he is. Believing and trusting in him. That is who he is. He cannot lie. From Abraham down to the children of Israel and to us. In scripture, we see the faithfulness of God. And I remember before my wedding anniversary. My wedding anniversary was somewhere 16th April. So prior to that, I just heard in my spirit, when I ask you to come and you came, have you lacked anything? Like Jesus asking the disciples, when I sent you without purse, did you lack anything? They said, no. And I looked at my own life. Just want to share a bit of my story here. So on the 18th of August, I left Ghana for Canada. I got here on the 19th. But prior to my coming, my husband and I had a conversation. I mean, it was all that we had that we put into this journey. And my husband did so because he knew and trusted that it is God calling me on this journey. So he would do everything to support this cause. So we sat down and we talked. And he was like, you know that whatever we have, you are taking it away. Sort of your journey is taking every resources away. But I just want to tell you, remember that God will take care of you. And he will take care of me here. People of God, I have shared a bit of my testimony here. I did not know how the journey was going to be for me. I have come in need of money, not knowing where money was going to come from. My health has been challenged so much so that it called for huge sums of money on medication. MSP couldn't cover most of the medication. I had to pay them myself. I said this to the praise and glory of Jesus, who sets me on this journey, that I have not lacked anything. Times that I needed to pay for medication, like 2,000 and over. Medication I was taking for a period of time was like 4,000. Where am I going to get this money from? The doctor looked at me and he was like, you know what? I want to pay for all these things for you. And it was just like that. I want to pay for this for you. And then COVID hit, affected my resources, my finances, like people who were sponsoring us. I didn't know how I was going to pay my school fees. I didn't know when the next meal, where it was coming from. As God would want to have it, to the praise of his name, I did not qualify for emergency fund from government of Canada. But I applied anyways. God told me, apply. And so I said, okay, if you are telling me, I will do that. And then I did. And to the glory of God, I got $11,000 out of this to settle school fees, to pay for rent, to pay for other expenses. I did not qualify. God provided this by himself. I did not do anything towards this cause. And then what happened during the time of my surgery? How am I going to pay for rent if I have to, you know, be in recovery for 3 months and all these things are happening? And someone just called. You know what? I just was talking to my husband, and we want to pay for your rent, like 3 months. Paying for rent, feeding me for 3 good months. I did not do anything towards this. I would turn to God and then tell him, I am in your hands and I am yours. I am your child. And parents provide for their children, and you have always been providing, so I know you would do it. And God always, 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 always provided. And I had to fund like $4,000 towards my school fees. And I was recovering, and I didn't know how. I told myself, it'll be an error for me to think where the money is going to come from. You know, having lived this way, like having received so much grace and provision from God. So I asked God to handle that. And God did it. I woke up one day, I had missed a call. I tried calling back, and the person was like, yeah, I have asked this so-and-so person to give you money. I didn't know how much, so I said, thank you. And then I listened to his voicemail earlier saying that, yeah, the money I have sent $4,000 towards your fees. That was the exact amount I needed. The exact amount I needed. Recently, just thinking about finishing Regent, God, what is the next step? What is the next plan? I know God is up to something, but it's all in his hands. And this organization I applied, and that was what Pastor Berry made mention of. They needed an interim executive director position to be filled. And the truth is, I looked at my CV and all that I was doing. I was like, God, I don't think I qualify. But once again, just do it. And trust me, and I did. And I had the position for, that period of time, for 4 months. And to the glory and praise of God, what that position is going to give me will help cater for so many things. So at one point, God said, I am just going to do it. No, just rest. And he did it. Another point, he provided an avenue for you to work and get this much. It is all his provision. What am I trying to say here? All I'm trying to say is that trust God. Believe this God. Have faith in God. What are you seeking? What is really going on in your heart? What is the yearning of your heart? What is your heart going after? What is it that generates so much fear, so much anxiety, causing you sleepless nights that you simply don't know what to do? In any area that you are needing help, God has promised. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, he says that when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. That is the promise of God to you. Irrespective of what is happening, irrespective of what is going on, trust in God. If then God so clothes the grass, which is of the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? It is an invitation that God is giving us this morning. An invitation to trust him. An invitation to have faith in him. Your heavenly Father's arms, loving arms, are widely open. And he wants to embrace all of you. All of you. All of you. With all that you have, just come as you are. With all that you have, he is inviting you to come. And as you come, he is not requesting anything. All that God is saying is that, trust me. Trust me. Look to me. Have faith in me. I will not disappoint you. And that is his track record. He is God. And his track record is faithfulness. Faithfulness. That is what has characterized the people of old and also us. Faithfulness of God. God is here right now. And he is asking, will you trust me? On this journey of kingdom finances, when God is calling on you to do something sort of crazy, God is asking you to give 5. Meanwhile, you have 5. And God is asking you to give all that. Would that make sense? Will you give it all to him? If God is asking you to spend time with a friend and don't think about using those hours even to work to get money, but just spend time with a friend, will you be bold to do that? It calls for obedience. It calls for us to know the God that we are working with. And if we will obey, and if we will look to him and not look at what we have and not look at our situation and not act from our abundance or even our need, we wouldn't put our need before what he is telling us. And we will just say, here I am, Lord. Send me, I will go. What is it that you are asking me to give? I will give. Where do you want me to be? I will be. Just let me know. We need to listen to the voice of God. And we need to ask him, what do you want, Lord? I am willing to go. I am willing to do. I am willing. So as we bring our series to a close, this is the invitation that God is giving you. That in your pursuit of kingdom finances, have faith in me. Trust me. Have faith in me. And trust me. Shall we bow down our heads? I want you to talk to God this morning that, oh God, may you increase my faith. May you help me to trust you. Increase my faith, help me to trust you. The hymnist said that in heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear. For save it such confiding and nothing changes. The storm may roll, but without me, my heart may low blade. But God is all round about me, and how can I be dismayed? You cannot be dismayed, for your heavenly Father's love is all round about you. His provision is sure for you. And so, Father, we want to thank you so much for loving us and for calling us to this place to keep trusting and to have faith in you. Not to worry, not to fear. You are calling us to a place where we will overcome the fear of finances and boldly pursue kingdom finances. So we pray that help us. We lay our fears before you. Thank you that you are with us now and forever. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.